Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Coming to you from an undisclosed broadcast location. One voice, delivering truth and pain. Presented by Guns.com. Trusted by millions of gun owners nationwide. This is Lock and Load with Bill Frady.
Hour number three.
From the Guns.com radio studio, this is Lock and Load. This portion of the show is brought to you by DeSantis.
Holster.com, the home of DeSantis quality-built American-made products for 45-plus years. Supporting police and government contracts from first responders to responsible citizens. Holster.com is your source for quality American-made leather and kydex holsters for the armed American. For concealed carry or open carry, Holster.com has what you need.
We didn't invent concealment.
We perfected it. Go to Holster.com now and buy a DeSantis holster today.
Check them out, DeSantisHolster.com. We're going to finish this week with the biggest writer from the biggest website of its type on the planet. That would be Dean Weingarten. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, Bill.
Let's take off with this ATF story, which gives some interesting background, because I was 7 years old when the Gun Control Act of 1968 was passed.
Yeah, let me talk about that a little bit, because sure. I was just, you know, entering, you know, initial adulthood. I was 17 years old.
Okay.
So and I watched it. I listened to the debate, and the onslaught in the media was impressive. Every media outlet that I recall was pushing for this. Things, outlets like Reader's Digest and Look Magazine, and all the media outlets were pushing for it. Well, we got to have it. And it only makes sense, you know, that kind of nonsense. And so, with that kind of attention, and it was all bolstered by the crisis du jour, that is the assassination of Bobby Kennedy, which was done with an inexpensive handgun, and mostly they went after rifles in the Gun Control Act of 68. So it was just, nonsense. It was a nonsensical but very emotionally pushed bill. And it was pushed. Johnson wanted it. President Johnson, in my opinion, one of our worst presidents, although that seems to, you know, we seem to have a president that's working hard to overcome that deficit. But, anyway, Johnson was legendary for several things. One, he was incredibly corrupt. Two, he was, if not a borderline sociopath, a real sociopath. And three, he was able to use his power in the Senate to push through things that ordinarily could not get through. And so he pushed the Gun Control Act of 1968 very hard. And he had the media entirely, almost entirely on his side. There were probably some minor outlets that weren't, that I wasn't aware of. And one of the very interesting things was, is that he pushed hard for an earlier version of the bill that had both gun registration, national gun registration,
right,
and national gun licensing. As if you bought a gun in the U.S., it was kind of like what they got in Australia in 1996. You know, every gun you bought would have to be licensed and registered. I mean, you'd have to get a license to be able to buy a gun, and you'd have to register that gun. And that was a bridge too far for the American politicians. They just would not buy that. In fact, they put in parts of the bill to say, we will not have gun registration. And in the late 1960s, there had been hardly any academic research on gun control. The very first one that I know of was Constable Colin Greenwood at Cambridge. I think he published his study in 1972 that concluded that the gun control effort in England was a failure and had never been designed to actually reduce crime. And later on, he discovered that it was all a political effort, that the powers that be in England were afraid of revolution, and that's why they pushed it through. And what we saw with the Gun Control Act of 1968 is that after it went into effect, it had no effect on crime that we could discern. Homicide and homicide with guns continued to climb. They were already going up a little bit before that, but they continued to increase until the middle 1980s, and they stayed high and got just a little bit higher, I think, in the about 1993, and then they started going down. But by 1993, a couple of things had happened. We just about doubled the number of guns in the United States in the intervening 25 years. I think it was just a little short of that. And we had started reforming the carry permit system in the U.S. with there were about four states that had carry permits before Florida went with shall issue permits. But when I say carry permits, I meant shall issue permits. And then Florida went shall issue in 87, and we started the whole trend toward restoring the right to carry in the United States, and it was well underway by 93. And we started seeing a drop in homicides and homicides with guns from then on until well into the 20-teens. And then when we started to see this defund the police and the whole demonization of police in the media during the Obama presidency, we started to get more crime, and crime has climbed since then. But what is clear is that gun control has no significant effect on crime. Now, the numbers are so small that it may have an effect one way or another. But none of the scientific studies have been able to show very much of an effect. And the net of nearly all of them is that there's no effect that can easily be measured. I would say, doing a meta study in my head from what I've read, that John Lott's studies are probably some of the better ones done, and they show essentially a small positive effect, that you get a few less murders and violent crime when you allow people to carry defensive weapons. And so I would say that's the way I would bet, but because they're relatively small amount, a small effect on a large population, as a scientist, I can't say for certain that that is true. But that's the leaning I see. So, that's kind of the background to where we are with this 68 Act, because the 68 Act was nowhere near as extensive as gun control in England or in Australia. In fact, it did not set up a national registration system. It did not set up a national licensing system. And that's what Johnson was aiming for.
Right.
But because politicians wouldn't take that, what it set up was something far less effective, that was expensive and intrusive and didn't really accomplish anything, and that's this gun tracing system we have today.
Well, we're going to finish this up on the other side. We're coming up on the first break. Dean, you can find the works of Dean Weingarten right now, most prevalently at Amoland.com. Nearly 2,000 articles there. Any day now, I'm going to say that, and he's going to go, actually, we just rolled over that bill, so I'm just waiting on that to happen. Amoland.com, Dean Weingarten with us tonight. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
Officer.com, the home of DeSantis Quality Built American-Made Products for 45-plus years. Supporting police and government contracts from first responders to responsible citizens. Holster.com is your source for quality American-made leather and kydex holsters for the armed American. For concealed carry or open carry, Holster.com has what you need.
We didn't invent concealment.
We perfected it. Go to Holster.com now and buy a DeSantis holster today.
In the 21st century, the handgun has become the preeminent self-defense tool. At CNA Precision, we specialize in taking your weapon to the highest degree of functionality possible. With a complete array of goods and services specializing in red dot sight installation, CNA Precision will help you realize the most effective handgun the first time. If you need slide milling, installation, or accessories, go to chpws.com. CNA Precision. Welcome to the Boom Squad.
When your body succumbs to an infection, the protein lactoferrin is likely running low. Lactoferrin exerts a broad-spectrum defense against bacteria, fungi, protozoa, and viruses. Lactoferrin binds to viruses and cell receptor sites so they cannot enter the cell, as well as boosts antiviral interferon production. Stress, poor health, and undernutrition will exhaust your own lactoferrin production, leaving you vulnerable. So while you may already be taking vitamins A, D, and zinc to build up your immune system, when you increase your lactoferrin, your immune system immediately gets stronger. There is only one effective and convenient dietary source of lactoferrin, and it's whey protein that has never been damaged by heat. Green Meadow Whey is the only grass pasture whey protein that has never been damaged by heat. I ask the question, is unheated whey protein concentrate as good or better than ivermectin or HCQ? Results indicate a strong maybe. To learn more, go to bestwhyprotein.net. That's bestwhyprotein.net.
All across the country, people are coming together to speed up what we can learn about health. The All of Us Research Program is calling on 1 million people to join us as we try to change the future of health. For your family, for future generations, for all of us. Visit joinallofus.org and find out how you can become one in a million.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
From the Guns.com radio studio, this is Lock and Load. This portion of the show is brought to you by DeSantis.
Holster.com, the home of DeSantis Quality Built American-Made Products for 45-plus years. Supporting police and government contracts from first responders to responsible citizens. Holster.com is your source for quality American-made leather and kydex holsters for the armed American. For concealed carry or open carry, Holster.com has what you need.
We didn't invent concealment.
We perfected it. Go to Holster.com now and buy a DeSantis holster today.
Indeed. Check him out, DeSantisHolster.com. Talking to Dean Weingarten, and, well, he was about to take us into the second part of this, because we've been talking about Johnson. We've been talking about President Johnson and all the other nonsense that he brought out with the 1968 Gun Control Act, which I'm not that familiar with, to be honest with you. I was a kid. How soon after, with the Gun Control Act, now that was the second serious piece of legislation after the NFA, right? That was the...
Well, actually, it was probably the third. But it modified. Yeah, we had the NFA in 1934. And then there's a bill that's not nearly as well known called the 1938 Firearms Act. And that, in a lot of that act has, was actually done away with in the 68 Act. So we don't talk about the 38 Act very much. But in 68, what they set up was this system of, first off, you had to, you know, if you're going, all the dealers had to be licensed. And this just decimated the small shops all across the country. I mean, because when I was a child, every little gas station sold, had a couple of guns for sale, and I think there was like five shops out of maybe 20 on the little main street of the town I grew up on that all sold guns. Now, they didn't sell a lot of them, but it was just another item of hardware that, you know, you would sell. And when we had to get a special license to sell them, and it was required by the federal government, the number of those shops just stopped selling them. On a kind of side note, what that meant was the specialty gun shop, the shops that engage specifically in firearms, was given a big boost. Because if you had to get a license, you might as well go all out. And then those gun shops became meeting places for political action and discussion and everything else. So the unintended consequences probably helped bolster Second Amendment supporters more than it hurt them. But the idea of the 68 law was in part that if you kept records of all these guns that were sold, that then, if you happen to cross one sometime later in a crime, that you could then figure out where it came from. Now, what that was supposed to do for you is highly uncertain. I mean, what they claim is, well, you can see patterns of who's supplying guns, or you might find somebody who's been a major supplier of guns, or you might find somebody, a shop that was illegally transferring guns. But all of those things have turned out to be extremely minor and unimportant generally.
Right.
And you just don't gain hardly any useful information from this tracing system. It's expensive. There are now hundreds of millions of records in the system. Because we are careful to prevent a national registration system, the records are not all easily found. And once the gun has been in the system for 10 or years or so, it becomes pretty useless because, so somebody bought a gun 10 years ago. So what? So you found out that somebody, it's like this case in New York recently.
Right.
The perpetrator who had a bunch of minor criminal run-ins with the law, so he'd never been convicted of a felony. He purchased a Glock, I think it was 11 years ago, in Ohio. Well, so we figured that out when we got the gun at the scene. What did it do for us? Nothing. It didn't help anything.
Well,
so you found out that he bought the gun legally 10 years ago. Or 11 years ago. So what? I mean, it's just finding where a gun came from after the fact of the crime
right. Doesn't
do you much good. So we have this system, and the ATF is just structurally committed to defending it, so they're constantly trying to figure out some way to justify it because it's their bread and butter. It's their reason for existence. Take it away, and most of the ATF goes away. And it's just a foolish, stupid system that runs on this failed idea that tracing is somehow, some way, useful. And it's just not in any meaningful sense.
Well, I guess my question, here's my question with this. Has tracing ever worked at all? Or did,
That's the question.
Yeah, what is the purpose of tracing?
Yeah, good question.
That's not answerable, I guess.
Well, the ATF says, well, we can figure out patterns of criminal gun, you know, purchases. Well, what happens? You've already been trying to stop them. So what happens is they find some shop or some individual who's been doing some straw man purchases or something like that, and
right.
they shut them down. And it has no effect because, you know, two or three others pop up right away.
Right.
Or they find that... you know, a lot of the guns in New York come from North Carolina. Well, so what? I mean, it doesn't mean anything. The whole system has been set up, in my opinion, it was set up as a prelude to installing a national registration system.
Right.
And, you know, people in the U.S. do not want a national registration system. And so we don't get a national registration system, and the national registration systems that we're able to actually look at, like ones that were set up in New Zealand, Canada, or even in Michigan, where they've had pistol registration for decades, they never do anything useful in the terms of solving crime. In Canada, as I recall, I think... maybe they might have found one crime where the registration was useful to solve it in like 50 years of existence. And the same applied to Michigan. I think they had one crime that they found that was useful in like 40 years of existence. Well, if you take the expense.
Let me get you to hold right there because I want to hear about this. On to Dean Weingarten. This article is the latest article he's got there. It's on right there, I think, on the front page at amaland.com, one of nearly 2,000 waiting for you. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
MGS, we have what it takes to reinvent yourself. With a curriculum designed to balance work, family, and a gun repair education, MGS provides the gateway into one of the fastest growing segments of the gun industry. Modern Gun School's mission is to provide high quality distance education using time tested materials and hands on projects designed to develop a proficiency in both the technique and the business of gunsmithing. Go to MGS.edu. MGS Trade School. Your future is waiting.
What's in a name? If that name is Ace Firearms, you've just entered a very expensive business. First, a fully appointed gun shop with all the guns, ammo, and accessories you could possibly imagine. But then you enter the manufacturing facility that is home to Red Alligator Concealment, Militia Arms Customs, and so much more. Ace Firearms is beyond a simple gun shop. This is a totally peerless operation. To find out more, go to acefirearms.com. Ace Firearms. This is only the beginning.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Twitter is trying to block Elon Musk from buying the company. The so-called poison pill plan allows shareholders to buy additional shares at a steep discount in order to prevent anyone from gaining a majority stake in the social media platform. The move is a way to dilute Musk's stake in Twitter and prevent a hostile takeover. Colorado Republican Congressman Ken Buck is all in favor of Musk buying Twitter, as he believes it will improve free speech in big tech.
The real challenge, though, is to make sure that we have a competition across the board, Facebook, Google, Apple, Amazon, as well as Twitter.
That audio courtesy of Fox News. State Department spokesman Ned Price says the United States and NATO allies are ready to impose more sanctions on Russia while providing more security assistance to Ukraine. USA Radio News. A new coronavirus test is getting the go-ahead by the FDA.
The FDA has granted emergency use authorization to the first COVID-19 test that uses breath samples. The Inspect IR COVID-19 breathalyzer is now available for use in medical facilities and mobile testing sites. In a study, the breathalyzer accurately identified 91.2% of positive tests. From the USA Radio News Pacific Northwest Bureau, I'm Wendy King.
Medical experts are trying to determine why nearly 100 people associated with the New Jersey school developed brain tumors. Some 94 former staff and students from Colonia High School in the Woodbridge Township School District have developed rate malignant brain tumors. Beginning this weekend, researchers will be conducting radiological tests at the school's 28-acre campus. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Guns.com radio studio. This is Lock and Load. This portion of the show is brought to you by DeSantis.
Holster.com, the home of DeSantis quality built American-made products for 45-plus years. Supporting police and government contracts from first responders to responsible citizens. Holster.com is your source for quality American-made leather and kydex holster for the armed American. For concealed carry or open carry, Holster.com has what you need.
We didn't invent concealment.
We perfected it. Go to Holster.com now and buy a DeSantis holster today.
Check them out, DeSantisHolster.com. I'm talking to Dean Weingarten. We've been talking about these latest shenanigans coming out of the Biden administration and the stuff that is sort of the precursor to it, and some other stuff as well. How difficult of a position is this going to be to defend in court what the Biden administration has just done because of the untraceable ghost guns that he's decided?
Yeah, that's hard to say because they have some legitimate purposes in here from the point of view of the law as it stands right now.
Right.
And I've been saying the whole tracing system is ineffective and should be eliminated. It doesn't really do any good. But that's the way the law is right now, to have this tracing system.
Right.
And what they have had is the ATF has had a couple of court cases which claim that the ATF has not been abiding by its legal obligations to define a firearm in a particular way. And so, from that viewpoint, the ATF has to change, or somebody has to change the legal definition of what a firearm receiver is.
Right.
Now, in my opinion, the ATF is using that to impose much more complicated and strange definitions on what is a receiver, but they have that impetus of court decisions saying that what they're doing isn't working well. So I don't know if all of it would be overturned in court or if any of it will be. I would say that people have had a right, a Second Amendment protected right, to make their own firearms for as long as we've had the Republic and before. The ATF in their document says, well, we're not saying people can't make their own firearms. We're not saying that at all. We're just saying that if you have this kit that has certain pieces in it and has certain tools and templates and, you know, rigs that make it easier to make your own firearm, well, once it gets to a certain point, it's so easy that it essentially is a firearm, and therefore we're regulating it as a firearm. And I think that's where they may fail in court. Because if you look at the actual law, it's talking about complete weapons or complete pseudo-weapons like starter guns.
Right.
And that they are readily convertible. It doesn't talk about receivers or items that are readily convertible into receivers, which is different.
Right.
And that's very clearly differentiated in the base law. So I think they may lose on that point, which would be reasonable and correct. And the law is very complex. They spend about, I think it's close to 40 pages in their new definition of what a firearm is, and they include as that a new requirement for marking silencers or suppressors. And one of the things that I think is a real difficult thing is they appear, as far as I can tell, and, you know, I read this stuff all the time, so I should be able to figure it out, but they appear to say that they're going to require the upper receiver on an AR-type firearm to be the receiver in the future, and it'll have to have serial numbers on it. But in the meantime, the old firearms that have the serial number on the lower receiver will be grandfathered in. Well, so if somebody takes an old firearm where the serial number is on the lower receiver, and they buy a new one where the serial number is on the upper receiver, and they take the serial the upper receiver from the new one and put it on the lower receiver of the old one and put the other two parts together, you now have one firearm without any serial numbers and another firearm with two. What does that mean for traceability and all that?
Right.
And they do say in this, you know, they say several times in responding to comments that they are only going to require one serial number per firearm on one part that is considered the receiver, and then they have an exception, except, and see, this is how they're trying to make it harder for people to make their own guns, part of the deal, except if you have a receiver that is put together from several pieces, then each one of those pieces has to have that serial number for the firearm on it. Because there are people out there who are selling kits where you assemble several pieces together to make an AR receiver.
Right. But that's where they're going to lose the fight, isn't it?
Well, that's, I don't know. It depends on the court. And it, even 20 years ago, the court was very, very sympathetic to the ATF and would give them just about anything they wanted. But that's not the case anymore, so I don't know how it's going to come out. But there is that is a problem, and then there's some other problems. Like, we have never, ever, that I know of in the past, equated tools as part of a firearm. And they're saying, if you got this template, if you have this jig, well, that's part of what we consider a firearm because it makes it easier to make a firearm. So if somebody buys a milling machine and a lathe and you know, a couple of grinders and a set of files, well, does that make it a lot easier to make a firearm? Sure it does. So is that part of what is a firearm now? And we're now to the point where saying, well, if you have tools that make it easier to make a firearm, you are in possession of a firearm? I mean, that seems to me a profound difference in the law that they are proposing. So this is a complicated rule change with a lot of differences in it and differences in definitions, and it's going to be fought out in the court, and I wouldn't be surprised if it ends up all the way to the Supreme Court.
Right.
So this is it would. I don't think the ATF would have done this unless it was at the push of the Biden administration. And I think it would be a different document if it were a Donald Trump administration instead of a Biden administration. And reading what I would consider between the lines and looking at how they're trying to do things, they're trying to skirt from being absolutely idiotic to being partly reasonable, if you see what I'm saying. In other words, they're trying to follow what I think are the dictates of the Biden administration and the people it wants to please on the hard left. And at the same time, they're trying to make it so that it may withstand court challenges. And so you end up with this document that's complex and where they're constantly saying we're not infringing on people's rights to make their own guns. But at the same time, the whole thrust of the document seems to be that we don't want people to make their own guns too easily.
Right.
Well, it's kind of contradictory.
It is.
The whole, as I said, the whole GCA 68 is a contradiction that was a bunch of compromises and never accomplished much that was worthwhile. It's a bastardized version, a much less effective version of a national registration and licensing program that nobody will accept. And the study that we see of a national licensing and registration programs is that they don't accomplish anything anyway.
Hang on right there, if you will. Last time. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
You trust your mother, right? She's always taken care of you and always tried to give you good advice when you ask for it. And sometimes, even when you don't. Well, even though she might not mention it, Mom very likely has neck, back, and shoulder pains. And she needs relief. So trust this good advice. Give back to Mom this Mother's Day with quality products from Sunnybay. Like our disposable heat patches. They're back in stock now and target neck and shoulder pain in adults of all ages. Or our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. Mom can heat them in her microwave and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews on Amazon when you search Sunny Bay Heating Wraps. And shop now in time for Mother's Day. There's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find us on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Neck Wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast. From Sunny Bay.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll free at 855 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
Time on the firing line from the Guns.com radio studio. This is Lock and Load. This portion of the show is brought to you by DeSantis.
Holster.com, the home of DeSantis quality built American made products for 45 plus years. Supporting police and government contracts from first responders to responsible citizens. Holster.com is your source for quality American made leather and kydex holster for the armed American. For concealed carry or open carry, Holster.com has what you need.
We didn't invent concealment,
we perfected it. Go to Holster.com now and buy a DeSantis holster today.
Check them out at DeSantisHolster.com. We've been speaking with Dean Weingarten, and one more time we're going to do that. Let's move over to Missouri, because one thing I would like to see is I would like to see that, like, here in my state, we have gun-free zones. Now, these are little islands surrounded by a bunch of gun carriers, right?
Right.
It's always somebody out there who is second-guessing law-abiding people. So they do it, right? They do it in order to provide a safe shopping environment for their shoppers. Now, of course, they do not have a SWAT team on duty to make sure that's actually what happens if I leave my gun outside and come into their store in that need to shop. Plus, the other problem is here in South Carolina, we actually have rules that govern that. And so along with those rules, I know the rules. So if I see a sign on the front door, I'm going looking for a sign on the back door, because it has to be on every door. And if they don't have a sign on the back door, if they don't have the right sign, I just, I carry concealed anyway, even though we have open carry. So I just roll in.
Yeah,
so,
and you're probably legal because they didn't meet their requirements.
That's right. But now in Missouri, they've decided, and I mean, it's sort of interesting they did this last month, but they voted to remove gun-free zones from public transportation, which would really have come in handy in Brooklyn, wouldn't it?
Yeah. And what I see here is it's part of what you're talking about, that you get these people that want the government to do something for them that they're not quite willing to do for themselves. Is that make it a law that nobody can carry guns here, because we don't want to tell people ourselves they can't carry guns here.
Right.
And I think that's what happened in Missouri, and this was on public transportation. And it's just another way to chip at the right to bear arms, and particularly since the people who use public transportation tend to be of more limited means than those that have their own chauffeurs or private jets. It's a discrimination against poor people.
Right.
And it's saying that we don't want those poor people to be armed. Well, instead of saying that, they say, oh, well, we don't want guns on public transportation, so the poor people will be safer. Only that's not the way it works out. And so we had this bill, and it's been put forward several years now, and it's the major thrust of it was to make it so that public transportation would not be a gun-free zone, at least for people who had a carry permit.
Right.
And it just makes sense, and it's a very reasonable, small, incremental improvement in the gun laws in Missouri. But as often is the case, they could get it passed in one house. They got it passed in the House. And then when it gets to the Senate, it just sits there. And unless somebody brings it through the committee process so that it makes it to the floor, nothing happens and it dies at the end of the session. Now this year it has moved a little bit more. First it got a very high vote in the House, 101 to 40. More than 2-1, 2.5-1. And it got through the first committee process in the Senate. And what happened in each of those cases, in the House, there were amendments that were added to add some sweeteners, remove a few more legal impediments to freedom. For example, they made it in the House, I think, they removed the illegality of carrying knuckles for self-defense.
Right.
And then, when they got to the Senate committee removed the ban on switchblade knives and silencers or gun mufflers. So now we're starting to see something that looks more like an omnibus gun law reform bill that you would think would get more people to vote for it. And I think if it makes it to the House, I mean to the Senate floor, it would pass in Missouri with no problem. But the problem is getting it to a vote. And that's what we often see with these reform measures that Second Amendment supporters put forward, is it's getting it to a vote that's the critical difference.
Right.
And it may yet happen in Missouri. I mean, we have almost a month. Their session ends on the 14th of May this year, as I understand it. And so there's almost a month for them to get this bill to the Senate floor and get it voted on. Now, almost certainly, from my contacts, the governor in Missouri would sign it. So the critical thing is to get it for a vote on the floor of the Senate. And, you know, whether that happens or not, it has died several years in the past.
Right.
Because it couldn't even make it out of a Senate committee. Well, this year it made it out of the Senate committee. And Missouri is a constitutional carry state, so you'd think they'd like to add a few improvements, like doing away with some stupid weapon bans and eliminate these gun-free zones. There's another gun-free zone that was added in, too, that they do away with, and I've forgotten. Oh, yeah, they have a ban on carrying guns in church, which I think is an infringement on the First Amendment right off. And that is changed to the more general private property protection that exists in the United States, that if you're on private property and you don't want people to carry guns there, you tell them, I don't want you carrying a gun here, and then they can be arrested for trespass. And the Missouri law would change to that presumption rather than just saying no one can carry on church unless they get special permission. So it's a real reform bill for several different things, and if enough pressure can be put on the Senate leadership to get it to the floor for the vote, I'm pretty sure it'll pass. But
right.
Getting it there is the hard part.
I'm waiting to see somebody start passing laws where if you're going to have a gun-free zone and something happens and you haven't got anything in place to provide for defense, any sort of security in there if you're going to divide, you know, take away.
Right.
I'm looking for penalties on that. And
yeah,
this is not because... This is,
of,
yeah.
There's been a couple attempts to get that done.
Well, I think that will actually be I think that'll be the next wave of things we see. Because
something like that.
Yeah, I mean, everything seems to be sort of coming in trends. Right now, the trend is constitutional carry.
Yep.
Which I don't know what they think that means as far as gun control when you've got half the nation allowed to carry a gun without a permit.
Right. With half the nation, I mean, that's pretty good thing to be able to check on it after a few years and see if it caused any problems.
Right.
And it hasn't been causing problems, but I don't think it will.
No, it's not going to. It's not going to. You know, I'm just watching them as they flail. And I do think they are flailing, but we're going to see how well things work out and all this other stuff. But
as we're
winding down the weekend here, are you going to be available on Tuesday?
I intend to be.
Well, I'm working hard to make sure. It all comes down to doctor's appointments, Dean, but you know
that.
Yeah,
I hear you.
Yeah, so anyway. I wish you and your family a happy Easter.
Well, thank you, and I will be looking forward to the next show, and it's always a pleasure.
The pleasure is always mine. To have the writer of the biggest website is always mine, the biggest writer of the biggest website. And we will be back on Monday. So everybody have a very good Easter. Remember what it's about. It's not about eggs and the bunny. Remember what Easter's about. And it's never been about gun control. Not once, not ever. It has been. It's always going to be about total control. This has been Lock and Load.
There's no such thing as a fair fight, and we bring the unfair advantage that is the 2011 platform.
Dominate.
At Staccato, we know the most important gun you own is the one that you're carrying when you're facing that threat to life and freedom.
Win.
We want you to enter that objective confident that you are carrying the best gun in a gunfight. No compromise. No sacrifice. Staccato2011.com. Stand ready to face down the darkness with 2011.
At Spikes Tactical, we are all shooters with a very simple mission. Make the best product we can perfect at the best possible price for our consumers. We strive to produce the best components and rifles available, with quality control second to none, because real-world events don't allow for a second chance. Whether you are an operator, competitor, or home defender, Spikes Tactical will serve you well. Go to SpikesTactical.com. Spikes Tactical, 100% American-made to the highest standard.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good, they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.